Hello and welcome. This is Mike Moody, along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. And next week, Lord willing, we'll have a different study with one of the other brethren. But today we're closing out our study in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've had, I trust, an encouraging time looking at the different crowns, as Paul mentions one here in verse 8 of our study. And we looked at the other four that's in the New Testament as well for the faithful Christians. Let's look first to the Lord in prayer as we continue on. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have opportunity to come together as believers to study the Word. And we also come together in different little local groups of Christians together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust, the name that's above every name. We have opportunity to remember Him, to study the Word, to have fellowship, and to have prayer. We just thank You for these privileges You've given us and these many blessings in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. So as we're in 2 Timothy 4, let's close out the chapter, Lord willing, today. We might have to go rather quickly. Verse 9, do thy diligence, Paul says, to come shortly unto me. Remember, Paul is at the end of his life, and he is ready to be offered, he said. He's ready for his departure. He's finished his course. He has fought a good fight. And he's telling some of these ones, he's talking here to Timothy, to do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. Now we see here that as the theme, one of the themes in 2 Timothy is those that forsook him, ones that would not be faithful, ones that forsook him and forsook the very teachings and the obedience to the Scripture. We see if we turn back to chapter 1, verse 8, be thou not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, he said, nor of me his prisoner. We see also in verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Philegus and Hermogenes. Then also we can see in connection with what we have before us today in verse 16, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. So we see here Paul ending his life with a victorious Christian life, and with joy, yet at the same time bittersweet. Many people that had at one point showed interest in the things of the Lord says they had forsaken him, and also forsaken the things of the Lord, some of which. So we see here in verse 10 and 11, let's pick up, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Well, here, think of that one called John Mark that back in Acts, where there was a little disagreement, you might say, between Paul and Barnabas. This one, Mark, had turned back during that first missionary journey. Things must have been too tough for him or whatever the case, and Paul did not take it as a good thing to continue bringing him with them. Yet Barnabas wanted to, and they went two different ways, and they both took a different person with them. But then here at the end of Paul's life, he speaks of how Mark is one that would be profitable for the ministry. So we pray that any perhaps disagreement or hard feelings between Paul and Barnabas may have been ironed out. As we think of Barnabas, I believe that was his nephew, Mark, and he wanted to give him a second chance. Sometimes we need to give one a second chance. I understand also from Paul's perspective, when you're on a serious ministry for the Lord, you're on a journey as they were in this missionary journey, and they saw many persecutions back there in Acts 13 and 14. It would have been disheartening and something that he was perhaps thinking it was the right discernment to say, let's not take Mark with us the next time. You want people that are steadfast, I know, but yet, just to throw that out at the end of his written words to Timothy, he says, bring Mark with you, for he is profitable for the ministry. On to verse 12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Notice here that this man, Tychicus, was mentioned in Ephesus 6, Colossians 4, Titus 3, just like other men, such as we see Timothy and Titus, and we think of Philip, the evangelist, different men in the Word of God, some of which worked closely with Paul, some perhaps not directly with Paul, but an example of itinerant ministry, we would say. These men were in different areas at different times, and contrary to what's popular today, started up in about the second or third century, having a one-man ministry is really what makes it easier on people, but it's not scriptural. We see people that went about and traveled around, and there was groups of elders in each different local assembly, and here's another one he's mentioned of, in different places, that traveled around as an itinerant servant, meaning moving on from spot to spot, traveling around and helping the saints. You know, when Paul went on his missionary journey, he would settle down in one place maybe as a new work, as a new group of Christians, and he would help minister to them for a while, for a year or two, then he'd move on. Whenever men would grow spiritually to where they could take on the work, then they would be able to lead the flock there, and Paul would go on and say, well, let's go back around, check out the saints in the different places and see how they're doing. And as he told Titus to set in order the things they're wanting and ordain elders in every city. So we see that, primary way that we see these men use was an itinerant ministry. Not going and settling down and sitting in a parsonage for 20 years, but the men that are there in the assembly, that local assembly would be doing the work of a shepherd. That's what we see. Of course, we don't have time to elaborate on that. We've already covered that a few months ago, but much there to be seen. What we have today is really far from what we see in the New Testament early church. So what we have here also, let's pick up in verse 14, well, rather 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. Paul thought it highly to have books and that which he could write upon. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware of? For he hath greatly withstood our words. Again, ending his life, wanting some things to write on. Perhaps he didn't know just how long he had, but he was going to make good use of his time. And he kept on warning Timothy and these others of these ones that was contrary to the faith. Verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me. We read that just a minute ago. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Remember the attitude of Stephen when he was being stoned. And also the Lord Jesus in Luke 23. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What an attitude to close your life with. Praying that ones would have forgiveness. That ones, out of whether ignorance or whatever the case is, we see Paul and Stephen in the Lord speaking of how there's a need for forgiveness. Isn't that you and I? We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were those that Christ was speaking of. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We know there was soldiers and ones there crucifying him, but yet we have sinned. We have been ones born in sin. We have shown our sinful nature in action. And until we have had our eyes opened by the glorious light of the gospel, then we cannot see. we were sinners, as Paul said of himself, that he persecuted the Christians, and he did it out of unbelief and out of ignorance. He didn't realize what he was doing. He thought he was serving God, but he wasn't. And now, as a believer in Christ, and he's gone on that road for Christ, he closes his life here saying, I pray God that they may not, that it may not be laid to their charge, speaking of one that has forsaken him. What an attitude. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So here, in light of this book, of 2 Timothy, of all the different people that forsook him, was ashamed of him, forsook the Lord, he said, the Lord stood by me. What more can we ask for? It might seem lonely on that road sometimes as believers in Christ, as following him and trying to stand up for what's right. Sometimes even the fellow believers will rebuke you for trying to be sold out for the Lord. But thank God for those Christians that encourage you along. And as we see here, Paul is making mention that notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. We know that he is standing with us when we're looking to serve him and obey him and to hold to his word. So it's not service in vain, as he spoke of in 1 Corinthians 15. Your service is not in vain in the Lord. And as we go on now, verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a closing word of confidence Paul is giving forth here. The all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives him this doxology, you might say, of speaking of to him. He speaks of, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He closed his life giving glory to the one whom glory was due. Verse 19, salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesimus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trunemus have I left at Miletum, sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee. Impudent, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. He salutes these faithful brothers and sisters, these brethren in the Lord. He salutes them and says, grace be with you. Amen. With that word, we'll just close our Bible study for this week and for this book of 2 Timothy 4. Thank you and have a good day.